Hey, Nick.
Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
I'm getting ready to light up a Bishop.
Well, I just had a Gator.
That's awesome.
Aren't they great cigars?
You know, they really, really are.
You can pick up your own Bishop and Gator over at MartinezCigars.com.
MartinezCigars.com?
MartinezCigars.com has the Bishop and Gator in a variety of size packages.
Packages.
You would like that, wouldn't you? Anyway, head on over to MartinezCigars.com for the Bishop and Gator.
All right. Hey, this is Dusty Slay. We're having a good time on the Cigar Pulpit. I'm hanging out with two guys that if you smash them together, they look like me. But hey, this is a great time. We're having a good time. I mean, you know, if you're sitting around listening to us talk about cigars, then you're probably having a cigar and not got a lot of friends. And but we appreciate you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm the Bishop of the Burn, Nick, and with me, as always,
your man, Gator.
And today, we've got a fun show today. We've got a selection from the January My Monthly Cigars box, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, our guest for today, we have, I mean, I don't even know where to start with this list of accomplishments. You know, he's a stand-up comedian. He's been on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon a number of times. He's been on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Last Comic Standing. He did some regular stints on the Bob and Tom Radio Show. And he was actually picked as one of 2019's top comics to watch by Variety Magazine. He's also the host of the We're Having a Good Time podcast, Dusty Slay. How you doing, Dusty?
All right. Great. We're having a good time. I feel good. I'm pumped. I'm happy to be here. You know, I like cigars. My friend Heath, he is HG. I don't even know how to say his Instagram, but he listens to you guys a lot. I've listened to you as well, but I think you're...
Heath's a good guy.
Yeah, and he put us to HGB Puro.
Yep.
On Instagram, and he... yeah, he connected us, and I think it's great. I listened to your episode down in Tampa, Ybor City.
Yeah,
which I've been down there watching them roll cigars, smoking cigars, and it's a great time.
It's a fun time.
Oh, absolutely,
we loved it down there, and I'm looking for any excuse I can get back. I did just actually see that. I guess they normally have some sort of a like heritage festival in March every year, and they've already pushed back the 2021. Festival from March, but I guess they're pushing it back to like December of 21, You know, so they're still doing it, but just later in the year. So I'm hoping maybe I can make an excuse to get back down there.
Well, that's too bad because I'll be doing comedy in Tampa in March
of
2021.
Oh, man.
So that's too bad.
That is too bad.
Yeah.
Well, today we're going to be smoking the Rocky Patel Quarter Century. It is a 5.5x50 Robusto with a San Andreas wrapper, a Honduran binder, and Nicaraguan filler. And as I said, that does come to us from the January My Monthly Cigars box.
Yes, it does.
So, Dusty, you're inside. I guess, do you smoke inside or do you not smoke inside?
Well, I don't smoke inside, and I'm jealous because, you know, we were supposed to do this podcast about a week ago.
Yeah.
And on that day... my appendix ruptured and I went to the hospital, and so I'm kind of taking...
It's the best excuse any guest has ever given me as to why they have to cancel a recording.
Well, I hated to do it. I love cigars, but I'm like, I feel like I should not smoke them right now.
Probably
until I'm all healed. So I'm just letting my body heal. But I am jealous because I do love cigars. And I'm, you know, I'm traveling all over the country all the time, and I'm always looking for cigar spots. But, you know, and there's so many, but my problem is if I smoke a cigar during the day and then do a show at night, all my energy is drained. The cigar relaxes me so much that it's hard to do a show. It's hard to stand on stage for an hour and entertain people after having a cigar.
Yeah.
So I like them at night after a show. I like to kick back. Do a little CBD, have a cigar.
Jeff's been doing
relax.
A little quote-unquote CBD too.
Yes. I'm a big fan of CBD.
Yeah. And So I'm always like having to find a spot somewhere around a hotel to have, because cigar shops usually aren't open that late.
Well, let me tell you something. The official cutting of the cigar is brought to you by Riverman Cigar Company of Crestwood, Missouri. Crestwood, Missouri being a little suburb of St. Louis. Now, our man Dan over there at Riverman, sponsoring the cut here, not only does he have a gigantic humidor with tons of cigars in there, ranging from $4 all the way up to the $100 Saka Unicorn, but Dan prides himself on his late night hours because he himself is a fairly big night owl, and he recognizes that, you know what, sometimes you need a place to go and have a cigar in the late night hours. So I know Dan normally, what, on weekends, maybe like 11, midnight? I mean,
I don't want to speak for the man.
He's open late. He's open late. And the nice thing with Dan is if you go in there.
I know you've been there with him to what, 2 in the morning?
I have been there until as late as 4 in the morning sometimes with him. So, yeah. So, Dan over at Riverman, like I said, he's got a great selection and he's open late. So, with that, why don't we go ahead and cut the cigars?
Dusty, I hope you don't mind. I need to get mine out of the cellophane.
Oh, yeah.
He's a savage.
Get it.
Get some.
That's not his, bit. That's a
there we go.
That's a different guy's bit.
Well, that was from Vietnam.
What?
It was nothing.
You're an idiot, Jeff. Anyway, I'm sorry, Dusty. What? You used to smoke what?
When I was a teenager, we used to smoke Black and Milds.
Oh yeah,
and you would roll it in the cellophane, and they would call it freaking it. And I don't know really what that means, but you would kind of loosen it up inside the cellophane. And I don't know. People just say, "Oh," they would always go, "You got to freak it." So we would always do it. We didn't know what we were doing.
Was that to get the tobacco out so you still had the tube to refill?
Well, we've done that too, but sometimes. But it's too much. My friends would always want to do that. And I'm like, that's too much. I mean, it would always be a good time. Back then, you know, that took about $20 to fill. And $20 was a lot to me back then, you know?
$20 is a lot to me right now.
True.
Well,
in the age of COVID.
I don't scoff at $20 now, but, you know, back then it was.
Like Nick always says, $20 is $20.
I don't say that. You say that. Typically when you're talking about some sort of deviant sex act. Anyway.
That's a valid point.
Anyway, so.
That's like, where you guys are, St. Louis?
That's where we are, St. Louis. Yeah, do you make it through here too often?
I went to in November, I was at the St. Louis Funny Bone.
Okay.
And that's when my appendix, I didn't realize it at the time, but that's where my appendix started to give me problems.
Oh, shit.
But I stood outside of my hotel, outside of the Funny Bone, and smoked cigars every night.
Nice.
And it was pretty cold. And actually, they let me have a cigar. They were shutting down the city again after my weekend. So at the last night, they let me have a cigar inside the club. Probably not allowed to do that, but we all sat in there, smoked cigars, cigarettes, CBD. We had a great time, you know?
There you go.
Well, now, next time you're in St. Louis, you got to promise to let us know. We'll come over and hang out and have a cigar with you.
Yes, that'd be great. I'd love that. I did buy some cigars while I was in St. Louis, and I couldn't tell you. I didn't even know where I was at. I Googled it. It was a good spot, but I couldn't tell you.
We've got a couple of really nice
we do.
Stores here in St. Louis. So, yeah, it would. I'm trying to remember exactly where in town the Funny Bone is at. I know where Helium, the Helium location's over by the Galleria Mall.
Well, and I used to go to the comedy club that was in Fairview Heights. Art.
I can't think
of the last name. Isn't that horrible? I can't remember his name now, but. But
that hotel's been torn down.
Yeah, the hotel's gone. Everything's redone there. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, Dusty, speaking of while we kind of light up these cigars and get going and everything, how did you get into stand up?
Well, when I was like 21, I grew up in Alabama and moved to Charleston, South Carolina, and I didn't have any friends, so I took an improv class, and I never thought about doing comedy. That never even crossed my mind that one day I would be a stand-up comedian. I was just trying to do something and meet people. So I started doing improv. And then from there, I just kind of stemmed into doing stand-up. And then it took me about, 10 years to figure it out. And then I don't know, maybe 5 years. And then 2008, I really started to hit a stride.
Yeah.
2012, I won a competition. 2014, I was a full-time comic, and I've been doing that since then.
And then in 2019, you're like, you know, one to watch. I mean, like, is that one of those things where you're rookie of the year after being after doing it for 10 years kind of deal?
Yeah, I think so. Like nobody. Yeah. I mean, it's like that's, you know, they always say overnight success after doing it for 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I, you know, I worked the road and I did Montreal's Just for Last Comedy Festival in Montreal. And from there, 2 weeks later, I did that. And then 2 weeks later, I did The Tonight Show.
Wow. And, what's that like? I mean, what is that like to be a stand-up comedian and to have a spot on The Tonight Show? I mean, because there's a lot of history, and not just with Jimmy Fallon, but, you know, you go back to the Leno days, the Carson days and everything. I mean, there's a lot of history wrapped up into that show.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, honestly, there's no feeling like it. I mean, it goes from the most nervous that you could possibly be, knots in the stomach, to, and The Tonight Show, I had done Jimmy Kimmel prior to that, and that went fine. But The Tonight Show went like I wanted it to go. Like, I was like, I couldn't have asked for a better set, yeah. Right? So it went, and it's like, you don't know. You got all these jokes, and you go and tell them, and you know, 100 audiences, 1,000 audiences could have laughed at these jokes. But on that night, maybe no one likes the jokes. You never know. But on this night, they liked them. It was great. It went the way I wanted. So the nerves immediately turned to adrenaline, and then you're happy. And then I took a bunch of my friends who don't smoke cigars off to a cigar bar in New York City, and we had a cigar to celebrate.
That's awesome.
And a bunch of my friends that I started comedy with in Charleston were all living in New York at the time. So we all got to go. Then we went to a bar where no one was in the bar. We got them to switch the TVs to The Tonight Show, and we all got to watch me on The Tonight Show in New York City.
Very cool.
I think I actually heard you tell that story on your podcast, because I've been catching up on the podcast a little bit, and I thought you mentioned that. Maybe it was the year-end recap, the 2020 year-end recap that you did with your wife. You may have mentioned it in that one.
Oh,
I don't
know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't, you know, when you do a podcast every week, it's like when you said what, but I've definitely talked about it before.
Yeah, no.
We run into that here on the show. It's like, wait, have we talked about that already? Like, we're always, we don't know what we've talked about on the show and what we've just sat around, you know, bullshitting about. So we're kind of, you know, we're always kind of trying to remember if we've covered a subject or not.
Yeah, you know, the thing about podcasts that I think is fun is, like, you share all this personal information about yourself, and then you forget about it. And then I run into someone at a show, and they start telling me things about my life, and I'm like, how do you know that? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, because I told you on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah. So going to cigars, what kind of cigars do you like? Do you have any go-tos? Do you have ones that you dig?
Well, my favorite cigar is a My Father cigar. It's called the Flor de les Antilles, something like that. I always pronounce it wrong, but it's a
same
box
here.
Press.
It's incredible. It's got the burgundy band on the end.
Dude, that's Gator's favorite cigar.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of my top five, and
that's
just incredible.
I go, and I know, I mean, I've been smoking cigars for, you know, I quit smoking cigarettes in 2012, and then about 2013, I started smoking cigars, and I've just kind of been on this thing, but I've smoked for far too long to know so little about them, but I found that cigar, and that's my go-to. When I go into a shop, I look for that. If they don't have it, then I venture out, try to find something else. I mean, there's others that I like. Actually, we have a shop in town called Smoker's Abbey, and they have, this is kind of, I was hoping there'd be a name on it, but that's kind of a local, I know this is an audio podcast, so nobody can see that, but
no, it's okay.
It's a local one that they have.
Yeah.
But it's,
it looks like about like what, like a Toro?
It's real.
That, I'm sorry, the
yeah,
one you were
yeah,
just showing,
so.
It looked like about a Toro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like a dark Maduro color and everything there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got, you know, when I was first starting, I would do some Camachos once in a while, but those things put me to sleep. I mean, I might be able to handle it a bit more now, but they're so strong. They would put me to sleep. I like all of the My Fathers, the Maduro. I don't know that one particular one. It burns right every time.
Yep.
I know there's nothing that I hate more than buying a cigar that I don't know and then sitting down and then it won't pull.
Yeah.
And then I'm just straining and I'm trying to mush it up and figure out how to get it to pull.
Yep.
And then it kills me.
Well,
it ruins the whole thing.
It does.
I've got to take a minute here and make our guest jealous.
Okay.
So back a little bit after Christmas, one of our cigar stores that we frequent here in St. Louis had a drawing, and I won a gorgeous My Father humidor. It's a, Don Pepin. And it is just beautiful. It'll hold about 150 sticks. I mean, it's the real deal. And I did that. The reason I won is because I bought Nick a sampler pack for Christmas for him. And then he told me on the show before our Christmas episode that he doesn't like the My Father cigars. And I'm like,
I like some
crap.
Of them. I just, personally, Dusty, I'm not a big box press fan. It's a mouthfeel thing for me. I like the round cigars versus the box press.
You can insert your own joke here.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, and so for me, I don't tend to gravitate towards the box press cigars. And Jeff had bought me this. And so we were talking about
it. So I gave him a hat instead.
And so instead he gives me the free hat that he got with purchase. So my Christmas gift was My Father's baseball hat that came with the box of cigars that he didn't give me.
But then I won a humidor. So it turned out I won in the end.
Yeah, I mean, I got the same thing, the mouth thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like the box press.
Yes.
I feel like that in the reverse, like I like that. I mean, I can go either way. I don't, you know, and when it comes to cigars, that all these jokes, I mean, all of this sounds like jokes, but I don't like a cigar that's too big, right? Like some people really like a big, and I'm like, I don't like one that's a real fat cigar.
All the guys at the cigar shop called Nick Mr. 60.
Hey now. Gordo.
I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a nice, there's an Arnold Schwarzenegger clip on YouTube where he's talking about cigars. And then he says, he's basically like, does my wife let me smoke cigars in the house? And he's like, I smoke wherever I want. I don't have to look for a spot like you do, right?
Uh-huh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And that triggers me, right? Because I always have to look for a spot. I'm always out in some hotel somewhere trying to find a spot where people aren't going to be bothered by me smoking cigars. And, and I love it. I like what you got going on right here. A patio with some heaters in the back.
Oh,
That's where
we're at Top Shooters in Columbia, Illinois.
Right across from St. Louis.
It's a nice bar and restaurant, and they have this covered patio here. They got the heaters out, and they don't mind one bit if we sit out here and have our cigars and record and everything. And
they take good care of us.
Yeah.
They actually turn the game or the music and whatnot down on the patio while we're here recording. They hook us up.
I just put a TV in my garage and a heater so that I could smoke in the garage and then watch football. And now we're in the playoffs and I have a ruptured appendix. And so I don't know. Now I've got this whole, cause I don't know, I don't know where to go. I have to go. I like to go to a cigar shop cause I like to talk to people. But a lot of times it's just older men in there and sometimes they don't really want to talk to me. So I'm just kind of hanging out in there. I got to go there 4 or 5 times before people will start talking to
me. Well, see, you're kind of like me. You're a long haired hippie freak. So, I get that
exactly.
too. So,
oh my gosh. I'll tell you what I've been doing at home, not to like beat this drum, but Heath actually, he bought one and he's been loving it too.
Oh my God.
I bought an ice tent, an ice fishing tent. Has Heath told you about his tent?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
It's
freaking amazing. It's insulated. And it's about 25 square feet. It's got the windows and the door and everything. You put the electric heater in there, and it holds that heat in there really, really good. Even when you open up the windows and everything for the ventilation, I've got a drop cloth on the deck so that the air doesn't come through the slats. And then I've got the cinder blocks on the corners to weigh it down. Dude, I bought this thing, got it going. Heath bought one after seeing mine. and he's been loving it. He's got an even better setup. He's got his TV and like an air purifier and everything in there. I mean, he's got it all set up. But I'll tell you what, if you're looking
for, awesome.
Looking for an idea, it's just under, I mean, my whole setup, all total, everything involved, under $300 in on this thing. And I'll tell you what, it's great.
Yeah, I got to get in on that. I would love a tent out in the backyard that I could just go smoke in. Mm-hmm. Heath is great. I'll tell you, me and Heath met just kind of on the internet talking cigars.
Yeah.
And then him and his wife came to a show, and then we were looking for a spot to go have a cigar, and we couldn't really find a spot. And I was like, listen, and we had never really met each other. I was like, I don't want to be weird here, but we can go back to we could go back to my hotel, and I have a pool. I have a patio at my hotel.
Yeah.
So they both came, and we sat out on the patio and had a couple of cigars back to back, and it was great. I mean, great guy. I loved. That's the thing about a cigar that's amazing. You just have a cigar. I quit drinking years ago, right? So just having a cigar, you can just talk. I find that I can talk. I'm the best conversationalist. And the moment the cigar's done, I'm like, all right, I'm done now.
I'm done now.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Was this one of those situations where everybody put their keys in the bowl when they walked in or?
Yeah, we're like, yeah.
No,
you don't want it. No.
Just let it go, Jeff. Don't try and out funny the funny man, Jeff. Oh, come on.
I'm serving him up.
No,
that's great.
So one thing I did want to talk to you about in a you know, actual legit question kind of conversation kind of way is I feel like our country has gone in a direction in the – I don't even know
I'm
how –
I'm glad you're doing this.
I don't even know how long. I don't even know how long it's been. But it feels like we can't make fun anymore. It feels like it's hard to like make fun of various things. It's kind of everybody's got to stick up their butt. Nobody can take a joke. Everybody's just kind of a little too serious and a little too, a little too serious. And then we start getting into the cancel culture and everything. How hard is it to be a stand-up comedian in an environment like that?
Well, the nice thing about what I do is that I've always just kind of made fun of myself. You know, like I grew up in a trailer park and I got a good sense of humor about making fun of myself, right? So I got a ton of jokes about living in a trailer park, and I'm pretty good about being able to make fun of things without it being anything that anybody cares about, right? Like, so it is hard. Like whenever, sometimes I'll think of an edgy joke. Sometimes I think of something, I go, oh, that'd be funny to tell. And then I basically just push it out of my brain. I just push it out of there because I go, it's not worth it. Yeah. You know, and I do think we're in a weird spot where it's tough to tell edgy jokes because something you may tell today that's okay may not be okay next year.
Exactly.
And you can be punished for a joke that that you were allowed to tell before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and that's why you have shows like The Office that are deleting scenes now, because what was funny 10 years ago isn't funny anymore.
Yeah. I tell you now what I do. There's a show I really like. I just go and buy the DVDs because DVDs are cheap now. And then I just want to be able to keep them. I mean, I don't know what it's going to take. I mean, my hope is that we can, you know, break through and move past this and that everybody, because, you know, it is fun to make fun of each other in a lighthearted way. I mean, you don't really have to dig at someone too much. But it's even lighthearted jokes are too serious now.
Yeah.
You know, like people are offended at everything. And, you know, to me, to a degree, it's like some of the things we used to be able to say, maybe we shouldn't have been joking about anyway, but there's other things, it's taken too hard of a turn. It's too much of a correction.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a valid point that it's swung too far to the extreme. And then, you know, as somebody who used to work in politics, I feel like it works that way a lot in the politics of the country too, where, you know, well, the pendulum will swing really, really far to the right. So then as a correction, it swings really, really far to the left, and it's at some point needs to kind of settle into the middle. And it kind of sounds like what you're saying is the true to the pop culture kind of maybe mentality of the country too.
Yeah, I think the great thing is like when, like, if somebody is telling jokes you don't like, you just don't listen to that person.
Yes.
You know, you go, but you don't try to get rid of them. And I think that's the weird thing that's happening now. It's like, if you don't like somebody, they try to cancel them. Whereas we should just go, all right, well, that's not for me, so I'm not going to listen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got a lot of comedy that's like that. You know, I'll listen to somebody and I go, nah, I don't care for these jokes. So I don't listen to them, but I don't go off and try to get them canceled or get their job taken away from them.
Yeah, ruin them or something. Yeah.
Even, no. You know, just a business. If somebody's rude to me at a restaurant, right, I don't try to get them fired. I just won't go back to that restaurant.
Yeah.
There's no food that's too good for me that I can't. I mean, most things that you get at a restaurant, you can just make at home anyway.
Yeah. No, it's true. And probably for
unless it's fine dining and – yeah, and unless it's fine dining, and I'm not really eating a lot of fine dining anyway.
That's
true. No, we're not either. So now, one thing that you mentioned there sparked something with me. You talked about like listening to other comedians, and I may or may not like their jokes, but does that get hard as a comedian to listen to your peers and not have a tendency to maybe let some of their jokes slip in with what you're doing? Like, I find it hard to listen to other podcasts because I end up hearing myself, you know, like regurgitating something I heard on the Cigar Authority or on, you know, the Good Cigar or whatnot. And so I actually kind of try to stay away from some of those other ones just because I don't want to steal their shtick.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I actually don't watch a lot of comedy, mainly because when I'm going full speed, I'm doing comedy every weekend. So every weekend I'm doing 5 to 6 hours of comedy, and then I'm also watching other comics. So, cause other comics that share the stage with me. So I'm not trying to go home and then watch comedy on Netflix, but I do think that can happen. And you know, the thing that's hard for me is it's like, I'm on TikTok, right? And I got a pretty good following on TikTok, and I don't dance. I'm not doing that. I'm just posting stand-up clips.
Yeah.
So people, like, you know, like I just posted this joke about being poor and how we used to, you know, get our presents were wrapped in boxes of other products, right? So it's like you tear it open, you're like, yes, name brand Frosted Flakes, right? And they're like, no, there's socks in there, you know? And the joke's a little bit better than that when I'm doing stand up. But, but somebody was like, this joke reminds me of Angela Johnson, right? And I don't even know Angela Johnson's comedy, but I'm like, if Angela Johnson grew up poor, there's a chance that we're going to have some overlapping jokes.
Yeah.
Because poor people are all going through the same sort of things, you know? I don't doubt that if she grew up poor, her parents wrapped her presents in boxes of other stuff rather than buying a Christmas box.
Yeah.
A cereal box is the same shape as a Christmas box, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
So that's a thing that's frustrating to me is when content is similar and then somebody's like, oh, that sounds like this person's joke. Like I did some jokes about blacking out and they were like, oh, this is a John Mulaney bit. So I went and listened to every joke I could find from John Mulaney about blacking out. And I'm like, the only thing that's similar here is that we're both talking about blacking out.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about our joke is the same. My experience, that's why if you talk about yourself, you're like, my experience blacking out, and I blacked out a million times. That's why I quit drinking, because I black out. My body's still going. I'm still doing things, but I've lost control up here.
That sounds like my college years. Yeah.
Well, and I hate to throw another comedian.
It's a lot of nights in college I don't remember, man.
Yeah. Well, I hate to throw another comedian out to you, but I've heard Nikki Glaser say the same thing, where she has stopped drinking because of that, because she didn't like the fact that she wasn't in control of what she was doing.
But see, I'm not even a comedian, and I don't really drink anymore because of exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Is when I was in college, I would do stupid crap, and I would drink too far, and then next thing you know, I'm getting told the next morning, dude, you were throwing up in the middle of the freaking street, and I didn't know any of that, you know, but no, so I totally get it, and I'm not even a comedian, and I share that life experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to say that blacking out, it's like your mind's way of being like, you don't need to see this, you know?
Yeah, you've gone too far.
Like, I've lost control of the body, but I can keep you from seeing it. You'll find out about it tomorrow.
Oh, God, I love that.
I'm like, you'll find out about it tomorrow at work if you still have a job.
Yes.
You know?
Or when you wake up and realize that you just threw up all over the inside of your dad's freshly detailed Jeep. That was,
that actually happened to him.
That was a low point. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, they say that you usually black out or throw up. So blacking out and throwing up, that's a real feat.
I was a champ, man.
This is the guy that stole a three-story bong.
Yeah, we did a three-story beer bong. We went to Lowe's, and I've told this story on the cast before, but this is funny. We went to Lowe's, and they wouldn't sell us the funnel and the tubing and the clamp all in one purchase because they knew what we were going to do with it. So we had to do separate purchases so they would clear it and everything. But my buddy, he lived in
– You're the only person I've ever known that's been denied the purchase for making a beer bong. I've known people denied purchases for making meth, but never a beer bong, you know?
Carbondale, Illinois Lowe's, man. They shut us down. But they, we got it, and my buddy, he had a three-story apartment building, and so we're on the staircase outside, and he's at the top with the funnel, and I'm at the bottom, and we had the 40s of ice house that we were pouring in everything, and I got done with it, and you know we were all happy, and somebody said, you didn't do it, you spilled some, because, you know, I mean, you're going to spill some, because you got to take a break, you can't just slam that consistent. So I'm like, throw on one more can of beer. They threw on this can of Miller High Life, and dude, the minute it hit the lips, I'm freaking projectile vomiting all over the lawn, and I'm sure that's what kept me from going to the hospital with alcohol poisoning that night, but it was bad.
It was rough. God's way of saving your life right there.
Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. Well, you know, I used to have an Ice House t-shirt that I would wear to school in about the fourth grade, and it was my nicest shirt. It was like a snowy landscape, you know, and it said ice. Yeah, it was a really nice shirt.
It looked like one of those, what was that one starving art, Kincaid? It looked like a Thomas Kincaid painting, you know?
Yeah.
Yep, I know exactly.
Yeah, it was I really liked, and then I had a Marlboro shirt with a patch, or not a patch, a pocket.
Yep.
You know, a little pocket for your cigarettes.
Yep.
And I had Marlboro stitched in. That was one of my nicer shirts.
Nice.
But the, I lived in Charleston, South Carolina for 10 years. And I lived on the beach for a year. I lived on James Island. And we just used to drink all the time. I drank so much on the beach that my forehead was sunburn on top of sunburn on top. I had scabs on my forehead because it was so sunburned.
Oh, my God.
And we just would hang out and play horseshoes and go pee in the ocean. And it was just a beautiful time.
This guy has the other half of my amulet.
I was going to say, I'm like, oh, man. Well, that's awesome.
So let's jump in real quick here. What are you getting on your cigar?
Yeah, so let's talk about the cigars for a minute. So on the cold draw, you got what?
Oh, it was cherries.
See, kind of figgy, you know?
You got figgy, I got cherries.
That kind of sweet, sweet fruit to it. I'm about a third of the way in on the cigar here. And
I also got that on the cold retrohale. By the way, that is a thing. You got to try it. I have
not done the retrohale on the cigar.
Cold retrohale.
Well, I didn't do that either.
Yeah,
but
I know. Anyway. But yeah, when you're smoking a cigar, do you ever do the cold draw to get some tastes off of the cigar before you light it up?
Whoa. Yeah. Sometimes I'll just kind of hit it, just to make sure that my cut was good
exactly.
And that I'm really feeling the. Yeah.
And depending on what the cigar is, sometimes we'll get notes of like. Straw, or we'll get notes of figs, or you know whatever it might be. You know, different tastes jump out at you. And with this one, I got like dried cherries. But there's also a thing that we do called the cold retrohale. And so basically, what you do is you draw in, you know, just like you're testing your cigar to make sure it's going to draw before you light it up. But then blow that back out through your nasal passages, and you'll pick up other hints of things from that when you do it. And it's a thing that I do. And I've had some cigar experts that have been on the show back me up on this, much to Nick's chagrin, because he hates it.
Kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
But
it works.
So I just did a retrohale. And like,
you didn't cough.
You inhale the cigar a bit?
I'll inhale.
When you do that?
Like before it's lit. So, you know, he's inhaling nothing. He's drawing air through the cigar.
Okay.
And then I blow it back up through my nasal passages. He exhales that air out of his nasal passages.
And what happens is you basically get some nasal stimulation, I guess.
Exactly.
You know, you get a little bit of flavor.
Your olfactory senses kick
in. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And so you might smell something a little bit different.
I like that. I want to try that because, you know, once in a bar in Fargo, North Dakota, I was there and the bar had a little thing, the handheld thing, and they would do snuff. So they would put a little snuff on the end of this thing, and then you would hold your nose up to it, and then they would pop it, and then you would go real fast and inhale the snuff.
Yeah.
And then that you could feel that drainage, and it was something. It was I really enjoyed that. I mean, I could have really got into that. I'm glad I'm not doing snuff all the time, but I could get into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so now what Nick is saying while we were talking, he did a retrohale on
the cigar. That's where you draw the smoke in like normal, but then you, instead of blowing it out your mouth, you push it out your nose.
And that's not for the faint of heart, by the way.
Yeah, and you'll get some other, you know, scents and everything doing that. This one's strong on the red pepper. If you do that,
yeah,
it's strong on the red pepper. And but it's a good creamy cigar. It's smooth. I mean, it's smoking really good. Burn line's good. Ash is nice.
Have we done a Rocky Patel on the show before?
Yes.
We did. Okay. I couldn't remember if we had.
One or two. But this is.
We've done two?
We've at least done one.
I'm going to have to go back and look now.
So, anyway,
this is a very good stick. I like it. The Quarter Century by Rocky Patel.
So, Dusty, when you're traveling around, I know you said that, you know, it's kind of hard finding places to smoke cigars and enjoy cigars. Has there been maybe one city or a region or something that you find is a little more smoker friendly than other places, or is pretty much everywhere kind of clamped down on the smoking?
Well, you know, Nashville, surprisingly, I don't know why I say that, only because that's where I live. We have tons of cigar shops here in Nashville, and a few open late. Smoker's Abbey's open late. There's one, I think it's Cafe Monte Cristo, and it's more downtown, and they're open till about 2. Those are really great. Oklahoma is good. I found Tulsa, Oklahoma. I found a really good shop I like there. Some places are really hard to find. Actually, in Denver, I found a spot that was really good. I like Colorado, Montana. All of those places are really great. The South, I find, is pretty lenient on cigars in general. But Atlanta has a good scene.
Oh, Atlanta's got a great scene. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of places to go there.
Actually, I was in Detroit, just north of Detroit, a place called Royal Oak, Michigan, and there was a spot there that was open late. I was there last February. It was so cold. I mean, we would go, but inside, it was a great indoor spot. I don't remember any names of anything.
Okay.
But in Royal Oak, Michigan, I'm sure there's not a lot of cigar spots in Royal Oak, Michigan, but it was really great. I just find that some cities like what was the city? Oh, Salt Lake City, Utah. I was just there. They have an ordinance. I think it's statewide in Utah where you can't smoke inside anywhere at any time. So even the cigar shops aren't allowed to let people smoke inside.
Yeah. That sucks. Actually in Utah, I believe is one of the states where it's really hard, to even get cigars shipped to you. I believe the law in Utah states that in order for you to receive a shipment of cigars, so like if you were to go online and maybe buy, you know, a 5-pack or something like that, it has to be shipped to a retailer. It can't be shipped to a private individual. So Utah is not we don't get a lot of downloads in Utah, let's put it that way.
what are we blocking? Yeah, one or two,
maybe a couple. Yeah.
And I love Utah. I think it's really fun, but there is, the cigar scene is not good. Mm. And in Canada, I had a couple of cigars up in Montreal, and you know, I pay about $8 for the cigar that I like, the My Father cigar.
Yeah,
it was close to 30. close to 30 in Montreal just because of the
taxes.
Tax.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, have you been up there since they've changed the packaging, the bands and everything?
No, I guess not. No, in Canada?
In Canada, they've gone to plain packaging. So, like, you know how, like, you can see this Rocky Patel band, you know, and how it's got some design and everything else. In Canada, everything is a basic black band with white lettering, like white, like just basic font. And it just, would just say, like, Rocky Patel, you know, quarter century. Or in your case, My Father Cigars, Flor de Las Antillas. I mean, that's it,
too bad. Know? Because the My Father cigars have really great designs too. Really good. You know, but Canada on the cigarettes, when you buy cigarettes, it will have pictures of like black lung and stuff like that just show. And it's like, I love cigarettes, but I quit them like 8-9 years ago and I haven't had one since. And I love them, but I think cigarettes really cheapen the tobacco experience.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't pop out real quick and have a cigar, you know?
No. Nope.
You're not like, I'm going to take a little break here, have a cigar, right? I mean, I used to love to dip. I was a big fan of dipping. I've tried smoking a pipe. Somebody told me once, they said, a cigar is a one-night stand, a pipe is a relationship. And yes. I don't know if that's true. But I feel much cooler with a cigar than I do a pipe.
Now, I have a pipe, and there's a lot of truth in it. A pipe is work. Like, you have to pack it, and you have to light it, and then you have to pack it some more and relight it. There's all these steps to go through, where with a cigar, you cut it, you light it, and you go. And, a cigar is more relaxing. A pipe is more work. Now, I will say, my ex-wife, Kristen, loves the smell of the pipe smoke, but even though she smokes cigars with me, she's not as big on the smell of the cigar smoke. But, like, she loves to sit out there when I'm smoking the pipe and just get the aroma.
I'll tell you what, man. After we're done recording, if you want some material for some awesome jokes, you need to talk to him about his relationship with his ex-wife.
Oh, my God. We got a divorce. We got a divorce, and we're better friends now than we ever were before. So,
He lives in her basement, but that's neither here nor there.
It's the house. It's a whole thing.
Anyway, so.
Maybe that's why she hates the cigar smell. But
it's permeating up out of the basement.
Cigar smell, it's tough to get. Yeah, it's tough to get. I used to, I drove a car. My last car had 317,000 miles on it. Nice. And I was like, I don't care what, I love the car, but I don't care what happens to it now. And I used to drive all over the country doing comedy. And I remember sitting in Illinois. I don't remember exactly the town. It was St. Charles, Illinois. And it was 1 degree outside. I sat in the car with the heat on, windows rolled down, just snow falling on my arm as I'm just smoking the cigar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's the best. I mean, nothing like a cigar to get me to go out in 0 degree and set out for an hour.
Right.
You know? I mean, listening to the radio, I've tried smoking cigars and driving too. That's pretty tough.
That's
the
not
wind's
the
going and it's
I do that though. That's one of my times to smoke is when I'm driving, and it can be a little bit of a challenge at times, especially with the nasty crosswind blowing stuff back in at you.
Yeah, but I've driven through the mountains of West Virginia smoking a cigar on a sunny day and I'm like, this is where it's at.
Right.
Sounds like a John Denver song.
Man, it is just. I know. It really does.
I'll tell you, though, when I'm driving, I feel like I can't really I can't concentrate on the cigar. So a lot of times when I'm driving, I tend to not smoke maybe like $10 cigars. I'll find like some budget sticks, you know?
Yeah.
Something that if maybe the burn doesn't quite stay even on it, I'm not as upset about it or something like that. But yeah, I'll smoke in the car.
A little commercial for us real quick. The end of the month, we have our Battle of the Budget Championship coming up, too. Speaking of budget cigars.
That is. That's coming up.
It's the Oscar Plan
on
B.
On Tuesday.
And who else?
The Tatiscan Yellow Series.
That's right. And I got to give a shout out to the fine people at Tatiscan. Anyway. Those people are warriors.
Oh, Lord. Don't.
Dusty's just don't
worry.
What is wrong with the two of you?
No.
I have no idea, but I'm hearing you. I have no idea.
Back in a previous life, years ago.
No, stop. This is all fake.
My team and I spent some time in Tatiscan.
No.
And those people, I mean,
Tennis Can is not a real country.
I've never,
Jeff,
ever experienced such loyalty and dedication from troops before in my
it's
life.
It's not a country. You're making all this up. Anyway.
Those people are freedom fighters, my friend.
I mean, I love it. I mean, I want to go.
So, dude, tell me about the podcast. How did you get going doing your podcast?
Well, this is what I wanted to do, right? Sometimes I'll go to a city and I'll do comedy. People become fans. They're like, oh, and then I won't go back to that city for another year, right? Yeah. So my idea was, if I can make fans and then have a podcast where I just keep people listening, keep people engaged, by the time I go back next year, they come back because, you know, they've stayed, you know, they didn't forget about me.
Yeah.
Right. But then the podcast, you know, I started off, I'm talking conspiracy theories. I'm telling stories about my life. And no matter how many stories you have, no matter how many conspiracies you have, eventually you run out of them. And I don't want to be a guest heavy podcast. Like, I like having guests.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you try to do, if the whole podcast is about guests, then you spend your whole life trying to book, trying to schedule. And then, you know, you get something scheduled and then someone's appendix ruptures and you don't have, and then they're like, oh, I can't do it. And so you know, so I like to have a guest now and then, so my whole plan was to just try to get people from being just fans of mine to actually knowing a little bit more about me.
Yeah.
Right. But then I go from there to a place where I'm like, well, I know a lot of conspiracies, but I don't want to talk about them all on a podcast. Some are just the kind of thing I talk about with people over cigars private setting.
If you get too close to the truth, they're going to come get you.
Jeff's a big conspiracy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick,
yeah,
actually,
I mean,
Nick
whenever
edited,
someone gets,
Nick edited three of mine out of the couple of shows back. Like, I just went on a spree. Yeah. We had a caller ask us about conspiracies, and I went off on them, and he took them all out.
I mean, it was a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's probably a good move. It probably
yeah, it
is
really
a good
was.
Move to
it
take
really
them
was.
Off. But I get, I mean, I've done that to myself. I've gone on a rant and then go, you know what? I'm not going to put that podcast out.
I just didn't want Capitol Police showing up at my door. You know, let's put it that way. It was,
yeah.
It's a little bit too close to some current events, and it just,
dude, I'm not going to lie.
I felt like I was going to be visited by Capitol Police.
I'm not going to lie, so. And I know Nick's going to hate this because he hates me going off on politics.
Oh, God.
But I watched this thing, the New York, I'm sorry, the Washington Post put out today, and it was a timeline of the breach of Capitol Hill and everything. And it's, like, compelling to watch. It's, like, 14 minutes long. But they show, like, video clips from people that were breaching, you know, that were shooting, and then video clips of people that were inside and what they were shooting of the people coming in at them. And, like, I don't think anybody realized actually how close these guys got to the senators and representatives at one point. Like, they were 100 feet away from them in a hallway. And they had no idea, you know, you had a wow. few Capitol Hill police blocking them. But, I mean, it was scary from the inside. And I can see how like watching that, it really made you feel like you were in the moment. So if you get a chance, go watch that. It's on the Washington Post.
I will check that out.
Yeah, it's really cool.
The day that I bought a little land in McMinnville, Tennessee, and the day that was happening, I was in the middle of the woods building a fire, just hanging out, no phone, no news,
yep.
And it was really great.
Nice.
And I managed to escape that whole thing and not hear anything about it. And then I came back out of the woods and I was like, oh, wait, what happened?
Yeah, oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. I was driving around delivering my newspapers. Nick and I are both journalists by trade. And I was actually delivering my newspapers that day. And people are blowing me up. And they're like, how are you not watching this? I said, because I'm working. I'm literally working.
Yeah.
I'll watch the highlights tonight. But yeah, I got to get my work done. So,
yep. Oh, I get it.
But apparently the rest of the world shut down.
Yeah. I find as a comic, I love to get into a conspiracy, read about it. I love to talk about it, but I find that all of that I have to separate myself from so I can write jokes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, if I see too many comics getting too involved in politics and then it's like their whole thing becomes politics. And I'm like, I like to be informed, but I'm also trying to just talk about some silly stuff and talk about growing up poor and make people laugh.
Well, and I would argue that people come to your show to escape what's going on, not yes. to dive deeper into it.
We heard that from a lot of people this past year, that they would come and listen to our podcast to hear us, you know, talk about Jeff washing his ass out in the sink, you know.
Dude, you got a bidet. That's all there is to it.
And things like that. instead of like, you know, they didn't want to hear about COVID. And so, like, when sometimes Jeff would start going off about COVID or something like that, I'm like, dude, we got to stop. We can't talk about this. It's like,
but it's hard not to, because it's the elephant in the room. I mean, it's everywhere.
But like you're talking about, people need to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like a good distraction comedy. That's what I like to consider my comedy. I have made some COVID jokes. Actually, my most popular TikTok video was COVID jokes. But it's because I'm not really talking about COVID. I'm just talking about the ridiculousness that surrounds a lot of the stuff.
Yeah.
And like how, you know, my whole thing is like, you can't even tell people that you're sick anymore without them thinking it's COVID, right? I have to get way too specific about what my sickness is so people don't think it's COVID, right? I'm like, no, I don't have COVID. I have diarrhea, right? And they're like, oh, okay, right?
Oh, well, then good, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, no.
It's like, I don't want to –
No, I get it, man.
I just want to tell people that I'm sick.
Yeah, I get it. I get a sinus call every year around this time of year. I start getting like a little, you know, I'm going to get specific here with my illness. I get a little sinus drip, and it causes just like a little nagging cough that goes for like month and a half, you know, just kind of as the sinus issue kind of resolves itself. And so like, I've got this little nagging cough. Well, son of a bitch, man, you go outside these days with a nagging cough, people are ready to freaking put you in the ICU.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and it's it's wild. And you know, the thing about it is I got some friends that hardly leave the house. They're doing all the right things, and they got COVID.
Yeah.
And then I travel the whole country all the time doing shows. I've been on many planes. I've been to lots of different cities. I've been to some hot zones. And recently, when I was in the hospital for my appendix, I got tested, you know, and I don't have it. And it's like, I don't know. I find that there's no way to escape it. So I just live my life. You know what I mean?
You know, and I'm sure.
And hope I don't get it.
I'm sure we talked about this on the cast, but if we didn't, we should have. So we just recently flew, like you said, you listened to the episode about Ybor City in Tampa. And we went down to the J.C. Newman factory, took a tour. Next time you're down there, you got to go do that.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It's so cool.
Okay.
You got to look into that, because they take you all through the factory and do the tour and show you how they make the cigars. And they've got the big pylons of tobacco and how they're curing it and everything.
Yeah, I mean, really cool.
It's a really, really awesome tour.
So I say that to say this. So when we fly back and we're on the plane, like Nick and I each had three seats to ourselves. It was luxurious. It's what I dream first class is like, because I grew up on, you know, a poor farm kid too. So trust me, I get it. And we're on the plane and we're flying back, and we get onto the shuttle to take us back to our car. Nick sits down, and his mask, when he sits down, kind of slips down like under his nose.
Just under my nose.
And this little old man across from him on the shuttle starts virtue shaming him like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. He said, please pull your mask up. That's why I'm wearing mine.
And I look over at this guy. Now, first of all, he's sitting in the seat you can't sit in. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I look at Nick and I'm like, you got virtue shamed, you know?
And he
like,
actually said that. He said he looked at the guy and he goes, your virtue is showing. And it was the greatest thing.
I love it.
He was like a wet hen, man. He was mad as a hornet when I said that. But he's sitting where he can't sit next to his wife, which whatever. But he's wearing three masks. And I'm thinking at some point, isn't it overkill?
Yeah, he's got the cloth. He's got the cloth mask.
A paper mask.
He's got
mask.
The paper, like, you know, mask. And then he's got the full plastic face shield going on. And I'm like, dude.
Oh, man.
You know?
He was eaten up.
It's like, if you're this freaked out, why are you traveling, you know?
Well, that's the weird thing. I mean, people are living in different worlds, right? Like, somebody that hasn't traveled at all is like wearing all these masks. But I went and did a gig in Dallas in May. Like, right? I always say this. I don't think anybody in the world cares. But I was probably the only headliner in the country doing comedy at that time. But Dallas was like, we want to start opening. We're at 25% capacity. We want to give it a go. And will you come? And I was like, yes, I will. I've been in my house for 2 months. Like, let me go.
Yeah.
And it was great. Right. But so I've been out. So I've been at this point, like, I'm not scared because yeah. I've been out a bunch of times. But people that don't go out are scared. And they're like, I got to go to the airport. Let me put on a million masks.
See, I would think that would be a good business opportunity for you or for anybody theoretically in your yeah. industry that, like, you know, there are places that are wanting to get going, get back to normal, get reopened and everything. And they're looking for acts. They're looking for people to come in. And I would think this would be a great opportunity for somebody like you that's willing to travel and willing to do it. It's like, dude, you could be getting booked all over the damn place if you wanted to.
I know. This dang appendix is the only thing that slowed me down. Anytime someone cancels, I'm going. And now I'm like, January, I canceled my gigs because I'm like, I didn't have surgery, but the doctor actually told me that it looked like I had an explosion where my appendix used to be.
Oh my God.
And he said, honestly, it looks so bad in there. I'm afraid to operate.
Oh my God.
So he said, let's do, antibiotics and see, and I actually feel great right now, but he said, let's do antibiotics and see where you're at in a couple of weeks. So I'm just kind of holding out, seeing what's happening.
Dude, that's some scary stuff.
I know. We have Vanderbilt here in Nashville, so it's like they're supposed to be the best. So I'm pretty lucky to have that here.
That's cool.
But I just find that there is humor to be found even in COVID. I mean, I know that people are dying, and it's like death is never funny, but there's funny stuff that's not related to death, you know?
Yeah.
No, and I get a kick out of the politicians that keep getting caught locking their towns down. Like, we had the mayor of Belleville got caught eating in St. Louis like a month or two ago. And it's like, you know, I love the hypocrisy when that's pointed out and captured.
Right. But when the people making the laws are not abiding by them, I'm like, well, what's happening? Why are you making that law and then not living by it, you know?
Yep.
So,
well, therein goes the conspiracies about, you know, locking us all down and trying to control the population and everything. But we won't get into that if we don't want to.
Well, you just brought it up.
Right. And it's like, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying is I just like living my life. I'm not trying to say anything's fake. I'm not even trying to get into conspiracy. I just like living my life.
Yep.
I'm having a great time. We're having a good time. And I just want to keep doing that.
Exactly.
I want the good times to roll and let's do it. You know, let's have cigars. Let's hang out and, you know, enjoy ourselves.
We need to get Dusty some of the Bishops and Gators.
We do. We're going to hook you up with some of our cigars to try. We have our own cigars, and they were made by Martinez, which is this great little, like, micro factory almost in New York.
Yeah, if you ever get up to New York City, you need to go to Martinez Cigars. Okay. They're maybe like two blocks from Madison Square Garden. It's a little shop there, but they have four guys there rolling, and it's their own factory, and they're making their own cigars there, right there in the middle of New York. And, dude, they make some amazing, amazing cigars.
They do.
And I met these guys at a trade show out in Las Vegas last January, and we talked and got to be friends and everything. And I just kind of, like, mentioned that Jeff and I at some point or another would like to have our own, you know, branded personal cigar. And they're like, we can do that. So we worked with their blenders to make the blends and everything like that. And now they've come out with the official Cigar Pulpit cigars. And I'll tell you what, they're really good. We need to get some sent over
to
you.
We do. We're going
to
do that.
I would love to check that out. I've had quite a few cigars in New York City. I over the last years, I've been there quite a bit. And I went to this one spot. I went to visit a friend in Brooklyn, and he doesn't smoke cigars, but he was down to go with me. So I just typed into my phone cigar shops near me, and I found a spot, and we went there. And it seemed like, to me, it seemed like this Italian, a bit maybe mobster kind of front when I got in there, because I looked it up and they said they had a lounge, right? So I was like, that's why I went. But when I went in, it was this just tiny spot, two guys, very nice, but they seemed like the kind of guys that were nice until they needed to not be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had looked it up and they said they had a lounge, but it looked like there was no place for lounge in there. So I said, hey, can I smoke these cigars in here? And the guy perked up like no one had ever asked him that before. And then he goes in the back and what looks like an employee lounge. And he starts cleaning it up, and he's so nice, and he cleans it up, and we sat back there, and we smoked. But it just seemed like no one had ever done that before. But the fact that someone asked, he was like, yes, yes, we'll make this happen. And nice. I don't know. It was great. I feel like I was into that story, and then I feel like as I get to the end, I'm like, well, there's really no point to this. But it's just fun where – I feel like it's just fun where cigars can take you if you start searching them out, where you can go and smoke them. What I mean, like even Ybor City, just an amazing place of people just rolling cigars everywhere you go. The whole street is just rolling cigars.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Yeah. Amazing. Well,
and we always talk about how cigars are the great equalizer. You know, you can like we'll be at a lounge over in St. Louis, and we'll be sitting there talking to a guy from the sanitation department and a police officer and a judge. And, you know, it just brings people together from all different socioeconomic, you know, I think people think when you're smoking cigars, oh, that's hoity-toity. No, it's there are people from all different genres that love cigars.
Yeah, and nothing real, and like at least in the South, I find that nothing brings old white men and old black men together like a cigar.
Amen.
I mean, you go into these shops and you know what I mean? And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. It's I mean, some of these places I go, they'll have like poker, you know, and then just be. I actually went to a bar in LA, a cigar shop, not in LA, in just outside of LA. And I was there and I just kind of Ubered down there. And, it was just a bunch of what I would consider redneck dudes, just California rednecks, white and black, just hanging out, smoking cigars. And it was great, man.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And here I am, just some long-haired Tennessee boy rolling in, and they just welcome you right in, you know?
That's awesome.
They're not always wanting to talk to me, but they welcome me in.
That's awesome. Well, Dusty, but where can people find out, not just about your podcast, but find out where you're going to be and how they can check you out?
Well, everything that I have is my name. I'm lucky enough to have the kind of name that no one has taken yet. So my website is dustyslay.com. And then all my social media, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, all is at Dusty Slay. So DustySlay. And everything is there. My podcast is called the We're Having a Good Time podcast. But if you go to any of my social media, in the bio, I have a link and it'll have everything. And if you go to my website, I have everything all. It's just a hub for everything. I don't even know who uses websites anymore, but everything's there and it's a hub for all my stuff.
Fantastic.
Well, you got to promise us when you're going to be in the St. Louis area that you're going to let us know so we can come over and we'll take you around to some of our haunts and, you know, kind of show you the cigar scene here in St. Louis.
Absolutely. I wish I had known you guys when I was there in November. That would have been really great.
Yeah.
I went to a spot, but I couldn't tell you where it was at. It felt like it was a little out of town, but it was great. They were nice. And they had my favorite cigars. So it was great.
That's awesome.
But I definitely will. And I appreciate you guys having me on. It's just fun to, I do a lot of comedy podcasts. It's fun to talk to people about cigars.
No, this is fun. This is fun. And you're obviously welcome back anytime.
Yep.
And we will make sure we get some Bishops and Gators sent your way. So we'll let you
Thank
try
you.
Those.
I appreciate that.
So
we're awesome. Always DTS, man. We're down to smoke.
Boom, boom. I love it.
Oh, my God. Well, Dusty, thank you so much for your time, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, guys.
Well, that was fun.
He's a hoot, man.
He's a good guy. I'm really happy. Thank you, Dusty, for coming on. We really appreciate it. And, we'll have to get down to Nashville. I think that'd be fun.
Oh, most definitely.
Well, we know we need to get down to Memphis anyway to go see Teddy.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe we swing through Memphis and Nashville.
Ooh, the Tennessee tour.
That could be fun.
I like it.
That could be fun. Well, Jeff, why don't we go ahead and get into what three cigars we've been smoking this week.
Okay, then.
You ready?
Yeah,
well,
why
you
not?
Know what? Before we do that, Let's circle back on the Rocky Patel quarter.
Yeah, because I'm down to the century. Nub.
I am down to the final third of the cigar, and it's been good. It's got that kind of red pepper on the retrohale.
Yeah,
the red pepper has kind of been through the cigar a little bit, but it's been pretty creamy, a really easy, good smoke.
But yeah, that red pepper's there on that retrohale.
Is it?
Yeah, it's still there. Like I said, I'm down to the point I'm burning my fingers. But no, it's been a good selection. Again, it came to us from the My Monthly Cigar Box.
Came from the January My Monthly Cigar Box, which, guys, as you've been kind of keeping track, we've been a little late getting this box due to the postal
office
and everything.
And whatnot.
So we cracked it open. Didn't kind of have an official cracking open of the box or anything. So this is the first selection we're doing from it. So why don't we, real briefly, before we get into what we're smoking this week, why don't we talk about what else is in this box? So
okay.
we obviously have the Rocky Patel Quarter Century. We also have the Encore by E.P. Carrillo. It is the Torpedo.
We're doing that next Friday.
6.1 by 52. And it features a Nicaraguan wrapper, binder, and filler. And it was rated 96 by Cigar Aficionado and was named the number one cigar of the year in 2018.
Yep. Good stick.
Good stick. Then we also have the Man O' War Puro Authentico, and that is a Bellicoso 4.5 by 50 featuring a Nicaraguan wrapper, and that wrapper is a Esteli Habano Ligero.
Okay.
And the binder is either non-existent or not available. And then the filler is Cuban Seed Nicaraguan Ligero.
And okay,
It's a full-bodied little guy. Then we also have the Room 101 Ichiban Habano, and it's a 6x50 Toro with a Habano wrapper, non-existent or non-available binder, and Brazilian, Nicaraguan, and Peruvian filler.
I think we did a Room 101 Ichiban, did we not?
Yes, we have done a Room 101 Ichiban. We did the Maduro. This is the Habano.
Okay, then.
Yeah, so that's what good else deal. Is in the January
I think we'd
My
be
Monthly
remiss,
Cigar Box.
Remiss if we didn't tell everybody what is My Monthly Cigars.
My Monthly Cigars is a premium cigar subscription service where you can get a box of cigars sent to your door every month. We get the Robusto box, which is 4 cigars for $30. They also have the El Presidente, which is 8 cigars for $50. It's 2 of everything that's in the Robusto box. And both of those are covered by the MSRP guarantee, which states that the value of the cigars is guaranteed to meet or exceed the price of the box. So, like, for example, for January here, we're looking at about $41, more $42, a little over $42.
Okay, then.
In value of these cigars. So, you know, you're saving money by getting the box and everything. And then if you use OfferGo Pulpit.
PULPIT.
That gets you free shipping on your first box. It also gets you 20% off any of the items in Nick's online store because he has an online store where he sells cigars and accessories and other fun stuff over there at MyMonthlyCigars.com.
Exactly.
So Jeff, three cigars you're smoking this week.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and go first?
So of the cigars, I actually picked up The Banker by H. Upman.
Ooh.
That's a good stick.
You do like The Banker.
Yeah, it's a little heavier for, you know, for my speed. But
yeah,
it's a very good cigar. And had that one this week and enjoyed it.
Very cool. My first one is actually the Crux Guild.
I haven't had that.
Yeah, you have. We had it on the show.
It's the Crux Guild.
It was the orange. The orange one. I'm like, that was the one you actually smoked.
Yep, that was it.
Yeah, and I smoked that the other night while I was actually editing up the first part of the Dave Garofalo two-parter.
That's right.
Yep.
Well, there you go. Now, on the other hand, I'm going to shamelessly cheap plug here.
Okay.
I had a Gator by Martinez.
Nice.
The Cigar Pulpit series.
I don't have any bishops left, so.
Yeah, I was down. I've got one left. I've got one Gator still hanging on. And, guys, these are going to be in brick-and-mortar stores soon.
Very, very soon.
Yeah.
Probably this week,
actually.
At least
starting at Riverman.
By the time this episode drops, Riverman should have theirs.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, my next cigar that I smoked this week that I really enjoyed was the Aladino Corojo Reserva number 4. That's that little guy from Aladino.
And, you can't go wrong with an Aladino.
No, and I'll tell you, they come out with that size once a year. It's a limited production and everything. And I made sure I stocked up as much as I could through Dan over at Riverman when they had them, because it's a good little cigar. And what's nice about it is that it has all the good flavor of the regular Corojo Reserve that's available pretty much all the time from Aladino. But because they do it in that size, it really compacts down that flavor, and that cigar just pops, man. I mean, it's just so flavorful and strong, and I love it so much. So
well, there you go.
Yep.
Now, I went back to one of my standards this week, and it's the Lot 23 by Perdomo.
Oh, nice.
Good cigar.
Nice.
Good cigar. And, you know, it's got a good price point to it. That's why I like it. Because it's a premium cigar, but it's at, you know, my kind of affordability.
Nice.
Yeah, no, good stick.
It is a good stick. My last one for this week, actually, was the Liga Privada number 9 from Drew Estate. I did the double Corona size, and I sat out in the smoke tent. And
that's a spicy little guy, isn't it?
It is, yeah. But I sat out in the smoke tent, and I started up a new show because I've been binging, you know, TV shows and stuff. And
Shield, right?
I did. I started up The Shield. And so that cigar actually got me through 3 episodes of The Shield by the time it was all said and done. Not quite 3. I think maybe the last 20 minutes of that last one, I didn't have a cigar. But got me through nearly 3 episodes of The Shield with that cigar. And I'll tell you what, it was a cold night. I had the ice tent not sealed up, but close to sealed up. And I had to unseal it, because it was kicking off a ton of smoke in there.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. It was a real good cigar. So.
Well, good deal.
Yep, the Liga Privada number 9.
Now, Nick, when I first got here to Top Shooters, he was still sitting in his car. I don't know if he was trying to lure in, like, children. I'm not sure what was going on.
Jeff, it was not quite 11.
He opened the door and offered me candy.
It was not quite 11 o'clock. Top Shooters opens at 11, and so I had to wait until they actually opened to come inside.
Well, anyway, he offered me candy to try to lure me in.
I had
and
some candy.
I brought this in with me because I want you guys to know what he's out there enjoying in his car.
I like to try different things, okay? Like, when I go to the store, if I see something and it's a product and it's, you know, new and all this, I like to try it. Just
guys,
you know,
he was sitting in his car eating raspberry and cream Kit Kats.
So the Valentine's Day candy is all out.
Okay.
And with different holidays, a lot of times they bring out different flavors. So, for example, at Christmas time, you usually find a lot of mint-related stuff.
Yes.
Well, at Valentine's, that's when they bring out the chocolate strawberry. Ooh. Or the various other things. Well,
I just opened this. This is pungent.
It is a raspberry cream Kit Kat. And
I didn't know this was a thing.
It's a Kit Kat wafer. But instead of being in the chocolate around the outside, it's like a raspberry cream. So it's a pink little Kit Kat, and they're tasty.
I was going to make a joke about whether this was the left or right, and then I remembered that wasn't Kit Kat.
Mm-mm.
No. No, it's not.
That's Twix.
That's Twix.
I'm still finishing my cigar, I'm not going to partake
in the
Kit Kat.
I'm going to dive into it. I got to try this now.
Why don't you give us a review of the raspberry and cream Kit Kat there, Jeff?
People can hear me chew.
That's okay.
Boy, that's a lot of flavor.
It's a flavor bomb, huh?
It is a flavor bomb.
Especially coming on the heels of this Rocky Patel quarter century.
God, this could put you into a sugar coma.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's like white chocolate that has
some sort of toxic flavor.
Raspberry in it.
It's natural and artificial flavors.
It says that it's in a raspberry-flavored white cream. Typically, when they say it's a white cream, that means that they're trying to go for white chocolate, but because there's like FDA regulations about being able
on what
to call
is white
something,
chocolate, yeah.
You know, actually white chocolate, it's probably less chocolate in it than it's probably more of just like sugar.
I
so,
do
yeah.
love the fact.
So it's probably pretty.
That
pretty
on
sugary.
The little mini individualized Kit Kat raspberry and cream, it actually has a line on here that says, to open, lift flap, and tear at the end. Thank you for that.
Somebody
I would have never known
somebody
how to
needed
get into
that.
This
somebody
candy.
Needed that in order to get into their Kit Kat.
You've got a lawsuit. I couldn't open my Kit Kat.
Somebody hurt themselves.
I need $400,000 plus $6 million in compensatory damages.
Kind of like why there's, you know, instructions as to how to use shampoo on the bottle, you know, the whole, what is it? Wet, lather, rinse, repeat.
Repeat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That whole repeat's a scam. They just want you to use more. That's all it is.
Well, technically, if you go by the instructions, you should, like, never be able to leave your shower.
Yeah, because you're just repeating.
You're just repeating constantly.
Is that that's more with the conditioner, I believe, than the shampoo. Am I correct there?
I don't know. I don't use conditioner.
You just stay in there and keep lathering.
I just use shampoo.
Yeah.
I don't use conditioner.
Hours and hours of shower time for Nick until he runs out of shampoo and he has to get out.
Okay. I mean,
I just have this, I like this image clean, of you being stuck in one of those loops like on Star Trek.
Yeah.
they can't break free.
We don't need to get more into Star Trek. Oh. We went deep into Star Trek in the last episode.
We did go deep.
Way, way deep. I realized I probably should have answered that question in my so when I'm picking out my bridge crew kind of voice, you know, should be like, it's so obvious that we need to have Captain Kirk on the bridge, you know.
Yeah.
Although I went with Picard, but anyway, whatever. That would have been that actually, in hindsight, that would have been the proper way to answer that Ask the Boys question.
It's true.
So.
It's true.
So why don't we get the final third Friday review from our boy Broccoli Rob.
Broccoli.
It's time for Final Third Friday with my man Broccoli Rob.
Hey, hey, parishioners of the pulpit, this is your man Brock. Yeah, yeah, I finally gave in. And today I'm sitting out in the Final Third Cigar Siglu for the Final Third Friday Cigar of the Week. Today I'm smoking a favorite of mine from 2020, the Aladino Cameroon Lonsdale. I fell in love with this cigar while visiting the Pulpit Boys early in 2020 when I was first able to smoke a bunch of them at the Riverman Cigar Company in Crestwood, Missouri. The Cameroon Lonsdale is a medium body cigar blended using an African seed Honduran grown Cameroon wrapper with binder and fillers of the incredible Honduran Corojo tobacco perfected by the Aroas over the years. I'm smoking the 6x43 Lonsdale along with revisiting the review I did on FinalThirdCigar.com. This Vitola is the size I have fallen in love with over the past year. This cigar has perfect construction and is an amazing smoking experience all the way through. The cold draw begins with notes of sweet tobacco and nutmeg. Upon light, the cigar offers a perfect draw with billowing smoke, a razor-sharp burn line, and solid ash. Man, flavors pop right from the very beginning on this cigar. So getting into the flavor notes, the first third engages the senses right from the light up, with notes of creamy nut, caramel, wood, and white pepper lingering on the palate. Black pepper comes to life through the retrohale. The second third transitions nicely with creamy caramel, nut, nougat, and a slight hint of cinnamon spice, with white pepper lingering on the palate and through the retrohale. Getting into the final third, the strength ticked up just a bit to a solid medium, with notes of creamy nut, caramel, baking spice, fresh cut grass with black and red pepper on the retrohale. The Aladino Cameroon Lonsdale is one of my top 5 cigars smoked in 2020. I've had several ask me to put my 2020 list together, so my top 5 list of newly smoked cigars for 2020 will be posted very soon. I rated this cigar a 95, and it deserves every point given. It's one of my favorite new finds of 2020, and one I will smoke as often as I possibly can. At the Smoke Pit, we offer the Aladino Cameroon Lonsdale for $8.99 each, and have several other blends across the JRE tobacco line of great cigars. We are the place in Central Indiana to get these incredible cigars. The Smoke Pit, located at 221 West Main Street in downtown Greenwood, Indiana, is an all-inclusive cigar lounge offering a wide range of boutique cigar brands, along with many heritage brands, bringing you one of the most unique selections in Central Indiana at a fair price. Come in today and enjoy our comfortable lounge over a cigar and a great conversation with others who love the cigar culture. You can follow me on Instagram at Final Third Cigar, and also check out FinalThirdCigar.com for full reviews of cigars and other cigar-related content. Have a great week, and remember to relax, stay smoky, and enjoy each cigar you smoke down to the Brock. Until next time, make it so.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, I like him.
I like his little reviews. This is working out really good.
I can't wait to get out to the Smoke Pit
for the
grand opening. That's going to be a hoot, man.
I need to figure out when that's going to be. I keep wanting to know. But
we'll probably find out about it after it's happened.
I hope not.
Right, Broccoli, let us know.
Don't screw us over like that, Broccoli.
Come on.
Yeah.
So although, I finished up my cigar.
in all fairness, this might time out to where they may actually have the Bishops and the Gators by the time we get out there.
Ooh, we got to go then.
Well, of course.
So I have finished up my cigar. Nick is still nursing the nub on his.
I'm nursing the last little bit of this. I'm not going to lie. How do I say this and not? Okay. There are some brands that sometimes some cigars don't really stand out to me.
Yeah.
They're not bad cigars. They just, you know, don't really stand out. Rocky Patel is one of those brands. There are some of his cigars that are really good. But a lot of the ones from his catalog, I find, tend to just kind of be good, but maybe not fantastic cigars. This Quarter Century is really good. I'm actually really liking this. It's got some good flavor. The spice component on it's really good. But I'll tell you, the burn, the combustion and everything. Mm-hmm. It's a well-constructed cigar. It's holding together really, really well. And I actually am kind of sitting here not really wanting it to end.
Yeah. Like, it was a good stick.
I'm finding myself very pleasantly surprised by the Rocky Patel Quarter Century. This is a really good cigar.
Well, cool. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
It's got an MSRP of $12.50 for the Robusto. So it's not exactly the cheaper one of his options, but it is a good cigar.
Flavorful.
I like it. Yes. Yep. Indeed.
There you go. So, Nick, as we wrap up here, how do people reach out to us on the socials?
We're available on Instagram at The Cigar Pulpit, as well as at Naked Gator, N-E-K-K-I-D Gator.
Of course, that is my page.
We're also on Facebook.
Oh, don't forget.
Oh, well, that's
Pinky.
True. We have Pinky Smoke Cigars.
Yeah.
Yep.
You guys don't want to miss out on Pinky's page.
No. Make sure you follow Pinky. And we're also on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You can always reach out to us through cigarpulpit.com, through the Contact the Pulpit page. And then we definitely need your questions for the Ask the Boys segment.
Please.
And you call that into the Ask the Boys hotline, area code 863-874-0000.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, I really am so happy that you booked our guest today. He was a lot of fun to talk to.
Yeah, I like Dusty. He's a good guy.
Yep.
So, and I really want to thank Heath for facilitating the introduction there. I thought that was really cool. And, you know, guys, this is how this happens, is we have a friend of somebody say, hey, you need to go on this show, and they take, you know, bird dog us to that person, and it just kind of happens this way. So, guys, if you have somebody that you think would make an awesome guest, tell them about us and tell us about them, and we'll make it happen.
Yeah. Make that love connection.
I was going to say, this is how this works. So.
That's how it goes down.
Exactly.
What do we got coming up Tuesday?
Tuesday is going to be the Battle of the Budgets Championship.
Oh, guys.
We are going to have Trent on to act as our third, and we're going to have the
Battle. He was our winner of the Christmas contest.
And we're going to do the Battle of the Budgets Championship. So you're not going to want to miss that, and we'll be able to crown the winner of this little
I'll tell you what.
This is going to be a good challenge
between the Oscar Plan B
and
Tadascan Yellow Series.
It is going to be
Yellow
tight.
Yellow Series, correct?
Yeah. It's going to be tight because both of them are really good budget bundle cigars, and I don't know. Going into this, I can't tell you which one I think is going to pull this out.
I don't know either.
I think it's going to be. I'm really glad we have a third person.
Yeah,
let's put it that way. Just for tiebreaker purposes. Yep. Now, if all three of us are struggling, then we're really screwed.
Yeah.
But I think for tiebreaker purposes, it's good to have that extra person.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Well, good deal. Well, Nick, this has been a hoot, man. I'm glad you brought Dusty on.
Yep. I'm happy Dusty could come on, and we want to thank him again for his time. He said when we rescheduled and everything, I asked him if it would be all right to do it on Sunday. He said, yeah, no problem. He said, the only thing I want to do is watch some football. And so I'm glad we were able to get this in so that he could go enjoy football and we get the recording done.
There you go.
And hopefully he gets better soon. I mean,
you know, I was remiss. I didn't ask him what team he was, what his team is.
Well, being in Nashville, I'd assume the Titans.
I would assume, but.
But I don't know.
You never know.
I mean, you don't know.
No.
So, anyway.
We'll ask him that next time.
There you go. Well, this has been another sermon from the Cigar Pulpit. I'm Nick.
I'm Gator.
Stay safe and stay smoky, everybody.